What did we wear everybody out last week or what? Begin a four-part series in the book of Jonah. We're going to be looking at this this 8th century prophet and over the next 4 weeks, and I hope that you'll have some real takeaways there and kind of maybe get a better understanding of kind of some of the stuff he was dealing with. We're gonna jump into it today. I was just thinking, we had a word, Joy. I'd like for you to, come on up here if you would please. I know this, when we get prophetic words, maybe just a little teaching about this, just to remind us, okay? If you feel like you get something from the Lord, we have prayed over the meetings and those of us who are leading a specific meeting, we have kind of an idea of what we feel like God wants to share, wants to do in that meeting. And sometimes folks will come to us and they'll say, I feel like I got this thing, and I was reading the scripture and this is what God said to me. And I so appreciate the fact of those of you who, when you hear, we all hear from God, hopefully, okay? And he wants to talk to us. And you believe that, right? I mean, I believe he wants to speak to us. And so often, there's a lot of reasons why we're not listening to God. Jonah had a real issue with that this morning. We're gonna look at that in just a moment. And there could be a seriously big fish in your future if you fail to listen. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. But what I want to say is this, is that if you feel like you get something, bring that to one of the pastors. And that's a lot of different places, do a lot of different things. And as far as in the meeting, of how they process different kinds of words, unfortunately, I think that there are probably many that don't even make room for those kinds of things. But we want to make room for that because we believe God speaks not just to us, but he speaks to all of us. And so when he does, though, we have a sense. Sometimes a word comes and it'll seem like it's a word for right now. Oh, yeah, that needs to happen right now. And then sometimes it maybe it's not for right now, but maybe it's for a future time. It's kind of like going into the garden and picking stuff before they're ripe. You don't want to do that. You want to wait till it ripens. Sometimes words need to ripen a little bit. Sometimes words are corporate words for the body. And then sometimes words are kind of private, personal words. And sometimes I'll ask that of people. I'll say, do you feel like this is a personal word for you, or do you feel like this is a corporate word? But there's a protocol that feels right to us. Feels right to us. Other churches do it differently. Okay, I've been in some churches, perhaps you have too, where it's almost a free for all. It's just like you got this word, you got that word, you got them going all over the place, and it's like it tends to be a bit confusing. I believe scripturally, we're told to no more than two or three words come like that, and there's always differences in that. But so that we don't have lots of different things that are said, and we how am I supposed to act to that? How am I supposed to act on that word? What am I supposed to do with that? Well, now you want me to do this. Now that kind of thing. Well, I want Joy to share this word, okay? Typically, we'll do that. Often it fits well whenever the music is playing and that kind of thing. And boy, it was one of those words this morning. You heard it too, didn't you? When you came and talked about mercy. Why don't you come on up? I think that if ever there, it's a word about offense and what to do with offenses. And when you get offended, just ticks me off about things. It just ticks me off. And man, it's just so horrible, if you carry that junk around with you. Well, Joy has this one. I think it's a wonderful word for us. And it really is all solved at the cross, right? I mean, that's kind of what we were saying about, but come up and share this word. And because I want us to, you know, if there's words that are shared like this, they're for somebody. They're for all of us, really. I think this is one of those. Go ahead, Joy. Would you share this word?
I think it's for all of us. We were driving in, and I heard this pretty loud from the Lord. And it's a strong word, but it's also a very gentle and loving word from Him. Receive it the way He wants you to receive it. Anyway, He said, when you hold on to offense, when you harbor that, you're robbing me of the glory that I deserve. And so I was listening to him. We had an incredible word at this conference about mercy and extending mercy and what that means. And the enemy loves to use offense in the church. He'll start in the church to divide us, to divide relationship, to divide crowds within the church, divide families. Says that if you have anything against your brother, or maybe you even know that your brother has something against you, to get it right. Go to each other, get it right, and put it. Here's the thing is that, you know, all those feelings and emotions that we get from offense, the anger, the fear, the pride, big one, pride.
Yeah, that's a big one.
We're called to take those emotions and hang them back on the cross. We don't hold on to them. We come together in the struggle of the conflict. I mean, we're human, but we're also called to imitate Christ in the mercy that He extended. We don't have a revelation yet, and I think it has to grow in us, the depravity of us before the cross. And what Christ did on the cross, and this mercy He extended to us on the cross. And we need to ask God for more of a revelation of that, not just of what He did, but where we were and where we are today because of that. And so the Lord was just, He was speaking. The first thing I say is, did I offend somebody? Am I offended? You know, you start searching your heart. But the Holy Spirit is so precious to tell us, you know, why don't you go get that thing right?
Yep, that's good.
You know, you don't want to harbor it. It makes you sick. It makes you sick physically, mentally. And so let's just hang all of this up here and then come together. Love on each other.
Yeah.
And if you need to say, you know, what you said really hurt me and I can't get over it. Can we come together on this? We'll hang everything up there. Let's talk this thing out and become one. God wants us to be one. And when we do this, this is the greatest form of evangelism. Is if you can extend mercy to the one that offended you. Christ did that. We offended Him. Our sin, our deadliness offended Him. But He loved us anyway.
Yep.
He loved us anyway. Amen?
Amen. Yeah. So let's be quiet before the Lord. And if that's for you, then act on that. Be obedient to that. That offense stuff is bad for your health, isn't it? It really is. It's bad for your health, and it was bad for Jonah's health, I'll tell you. And so I want you to take your Bibles. Thank you, Joy. Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Jonah. Our theme for the month of April is couched in the little phrase or little questions, couple questions. Are you running to God or are you running from God? Are you running to God? Are you running from God. Jonah certainly had his to and from moments. And we hope to underscore those and share those with you. Michael and I will be doing the majority of the preaching in the month of April. And so I encourage you to read along with us. Also, in the quiet times with the pastor, that's also taken from the book of Jonah. And I hope that you will allow those things to be worked down deep into your heart. You know what I do, and I've told you this before, what I do is before I ever read a passage, I ask God, God, what is it that you want to say to me in this? And I look for a specific verse, in the passage, and I ask God to highlight that for me. Sometimes I'll read a passage. Rarely does this happen, but sometimes I'll read a passage, you know, like Jonah chapter. Today we start with, actually last week was Jonah 1. Today was Jonah 2. And he highlighted for me a passage from Jonah chapter 2, and verse 4 actually specifically. I'm just going to tell you, I could read for you my journal, what I journaled early this morning, but I asked God to highlight that verse, and then the verse that he highlights, then I memorize that for the week, and I quote that every morning. That's the first thing I do every morning. When I have a hard time getting asleep at night, and that happens on occasion, and when that happens for me, you know, some people count sheep, I count the shepherd. And shepherd of the sheep. And anyway, I have these mental gymnastics that I go through to get myself back to sleep. Some people medicate themselves and do other kinds of goofy stuff. I don't do that. But what I do is I quote, you know, I go through the books of the Bible, Old and New Testament. I've told you this. I do it, you know, with my hand. You know, I memorize things with my fingers and stuff. And so I go through the books of the Bible and then go through the New Testament. And then if I'm still awake, then I go back. I usually do it again. And if I'm still awake, then I try to quote a verse of Scripture from every book of the Bible. I just start quoting them. Now, not aloud. I mean, my wife's trying to sleep, you know, but I'm quoting those, trying to get a, you know, I'm just wanting the Word of God to get worked down deep in me. And but for sure, I always quote the verses that I've memorized for that particular period. Last week was Jonah chapter 1 and verse 10, and I'll allude to that here in the message in just a little bit. This morning's verse, and so I always start my quiet times by quoting those verses just to kind of get my mind settled in on the Word of God and the Lord. And my verse for this morning, I'll just kind of give you my little personal deal this morning, is found in chapter 2 and verse 4. And it is, nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Now, that's just a little simple thing. Nevertheless, I will look again into your holy temple. That's pretty easy to memorize, okay? The one for last week was Jonah chapter 1 and verse 10. It starts with a question. How could you do this? You know, the sailors are questioning Jonah when all of the issues are happening. I'll get to that in a moment. How could you do this? For the men knew that he had been fleeing from the presence of the Lord. You know why? The verse says, because he told them. I tell you what, when you're carrying an offense or when you're fleeing from the presence of the Lord, everybody knows it. You might think it's just your deal, but I'm telling you, those closest to you know it. Your wife knows it. Your husband knows it. Your kids know it. People that you work with know it. It's just bad for your health. You need to just get rid of that stuff and realize that anything, whether it's offenses, whatever it is, it's already been handled right there. Right there. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my... Because it was thereby that I received my sight. And what? Now, that's a nevertheless. And now I am, yeah, I'm not sick anymore. I'm not sick anymore. Okay? I got things settled. You know, is it well with your soul? Yeah, I got things settled. And that's where you do it. Well, Jonah had his moments. Let's get to it. Jonah, you know, is the fifth of in a series of 12 prophets, sometimes called the 12 prophets, mostly called the minor prophets. Not minor because it's not as important as the major prophets, but minor in length in the totality of their message. Jonah differs from all the other minor prophets in this one way. You already know it. He differs from the other 11 because this is a book about him, about the prophet. Rather, the other 11 contain prophetic utterances or utterances from the prophet. But this is not about that. This is about him. So it's a book about Jonah. It's probably most well known not because of its message, of the point of what God is trying to say, but it's most well known because of this dead gum whale. Well, fish, actually. Whale's not in there. It's actually the word great fish. You'll find it four different times in Jonah 1 and in portions of 2. When it was translated into the Latin, a Vulgate, okay, when the New Testament was translated into that Old and New Testament into Latin, this thing was called the Aqualis Carcharias. Okay? Yeah, kind of got that all over myself on that one, didn't I? The Aqualis sounds like what? Aquatic sea. That's sea. Carcharias, got any Latin scholars here? Dog. Sea dog. Sea dog. Doesn't say whale, just great fish. And it ends up being translated in English as a great fish. Now, this particular creature, it's really kind of weird. I was actually reading a portion. I read a lot of stuff. I love to read. And I was reading a portion of Jerome's proem. And there is another, actually another deal. I brought it along. Where Mueller's, he was a German biologist, and he categorized different kinds of plants and animals and species and things like that. And he records an incident that happened in 1758 with a sailor that fell overboard in the Mediterranean Sea, not too far from this journey that we're going to find out Jonah's taken when he leaves Joppa and heads out to Tarshish. And the Mediterranean Sea, because it's not a really deep area, it can't really support life from great big whales, okay? But this thing's a pretty good-sized creature. So the sea dog, it's a particular kind of a shark. It grows to be about 25 feet long. I mean, it still gets caught in fishermen's nets and things like that. But he records this deal here. You may find this interesting, and if not, then whatever. Just don't be offended about it, okay? All right. And what happened, this sailor fell overboard from a boat, a frigate. And it was in very stormy weather, kind of sound familiar to our story this morning. And he was immediately taken in this big 25-foot sea dog, shark, came up out of the water and just snatched him in one big gulp, this sailor, okay? It's recorded. And the captain, however, he ordered it. They had a big old honking like gun, cannon-like type thing on the boat and shot this thing. And when he shot it, the shark discharged the sailor in whole, total, still alive. I mean, these animals have six rows of teeth, about 400 of these things, lance things that fold back like this. So things get over until they get in, and then those bad boys come up and they have a buffet, sailor buffet, okay? And anyway, this thing spit this sailor out. 1758, this is recorded. I found this deal. I read the craziest things. You know, I chase stuff around. But he spit this thing out, and the dude was alive. He was alive, yeah. Now, he wasn't in there 3 days, 3 nights. That was a miracle. Okay. That was a miracle. I'm not trying to say that this is just one of these natural phenomenon type things, but I just thought that was kind of curious. Okay, let's get rid of that stuff. What's the point of this message from Jonah? I've written it down for you in your bulletin. Here's the point. God's strong and unmistakable call for Israel was always to fulfill her vocation to spread God's love and his forgiveness to Gentile nations. That was the point of his call that came to Jonah. And it was always underscored even by the other prophets. This song that Ken led us in this morning that we began, Arise, Shine. Chapter 9 of Isaiah, you don't necessarily have to turn to this unless you just want to. Says, but there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun. Here, let me back up here just a little bit here. For he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people, here it is, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. This is the prophet Isaiah looking forward to, of course, the fulfillment of this prophetic word was in the person of Jesus. But those who walk in darkness will see a great light, verse 2 says. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. And then if we flip over to Isaiah 60, which is where the song came from that Ken led us in as we began, begins like this in chapter 60 and also verses 1, 2, and 3. So arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth. And how many of you know that darkness covers the earth? I mean, there's stuff that happens to all of us, right? Okay? It'd be nice if we could live in a non-offensive world. But we're getting offended all. I was so offended this week. And it never fails whenever I get ready to speak. John, I know you speak and others of you preach and stuff here. Speak here, Ken and others. That invariably, you become the crucible which God works out that message in your own life. I hate that when that happens. Kind of, sort of, you know. But it also kind of drives home the point. So back to the scripture. For behold, darkness will cover the earth. Oh, yeah. And deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Verse 3. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That's always been the point of his message to us. It's not just, really, it's not just about us. Okay, it's not just about me. When it becomes just about me, you get offended. I get offended when it's all about me. It's not about me. It's about him and what he wants. And what is it that he wants? He wants his light to shine in the midst of darkness. And it's not up to someone else. It's up to us. The question is, has his light shined in your life? Has the word of the Lord ever come to you like it did to Jonah? Well, you better run to it and not run from it. Because what we find in this first chapter is a prophet missing the point. A prophet missing the point. Let's just walk through Jonah chapter 1 and let's see what Jonah's story looks like. Okay? And I've got that here in the bulletin as well, if you're filling in the little deals there. The Jonah story was always about his disobedience. I call him the reluctant prophet. His disobedience, I really don't think, when you read his story, of course, Jonah 1 is only the first part of his story. You have, in this particular story, we see the end of the story too. If you go to chapter 4, you understand kind of what was going on there. Why he was so ticked off and why instead of going northeast, he went southwest. Northeast, he only had to go. Nineveh was only about 400 miles away from where he was living. He ends up going 1,600 miles the other direction and becomes a fish sandwich. Okay? So his story is about his disobedience, which, what did it bring? Distress. Oh, yeah, you'll see it in chapter 1. And you know the story. Brought distress, ultimately, I think his disgust and displeasure. And then when you look over in chapter 4, I think we see depression to the max. The guy wants to die. He said, just kill me, take me out. I don't want to live anymore. And I don't think it was so much because, I really don't think it was because he was a God hater. It wasn't that at all. He was a God lover. He was a prophet. We're told this in Kings material during the time of Jeroboam the second. Which if that's true, and I believe that it is true, that he ministered during the time when a dude by the name of Tiglath-Pileser III, and then his successor, Shalmaneser V, those guys, they were ISIS on steroids. I'm not even going to tell you some of the atrocities that I've read about that they committed on all peoples, but certainly the people of Israel, the Jews. They were ISIS on steroids. All that stuff you see today, you see beheadings and all of this kind of thing, nothing compared to what Tig or Pul, as he was known as, this Assyrian commander, and then his successor, Shalmaneser V. Horrible things he did. And the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, it says, in chapter 1 and verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Now, interesting, son of Amittai. His parent. There is a, even to this day, Jewish tradition that claims that Jonah was, now, this is, I wouldn't preach on this at all, but it's just interesting. I just throw this in the same hopper with the Aquilus Carcharias, okay? Jewish tradition holds, and this was something that went back as far as like the 3rd century AD, held that Jonah was none other than the son of the widow of Zarephath. Anybody know about that story? What Elijah did with his widow of Zarephath? Yeah, you do. You know the story. What happened to the widow's son? Died. Who shows up? Elijah, the prophet. And Elijah says, let me have your son. And you know the story. Comes back to life. Now, I don't know whether that's Jonah or not. You know, I've got a list of 1,401 questions I'm going to ask when I stand before the Lord, which, of course, won't matter. Any of those questions really won't matter. Well, they're not going to matter. But I just think if anybody should have been obedient and very receptive to the word of the Lord, surely it was a dude that had died and had come back to life because of what God had done in his life. Now, I don't know if that is the case, but it really doesn't matter because the scripture says through the psalmist, we are wonderfully and fearfully made. When we were growing in our mother's womb, God knew us. He knew everything about us. Even before that, he knew us. And just the thought of that ought to make us want to, whatever you got for me, give it to me. and I'll be obedient to that. But Jonah wasn't. He was disobedient. And in his disobedience, it led to great distress for him. That's the understatement. To his disgust, to his displeasure, and ultimately to a real depression here, such that he wanted to die. Let's read his story, Jonah chapter 1. I know you know this story, but maybe I can shed some light on some stuff here. So I don't think, let me just say before we read the rest of it, I don't think that he was a God hater at all. I don't think that's why he instead of going northeast to Nineveh, to the city, the capital city of Tiglath-Pileser the third and Shalmaneser the fifth, where all of this heinous stuff, and I traced all the battle plans that was going on at that time and where they went and what they did to people. It was horrible. So I don't think that he was disobedient because he was a God hater and didn't hear from God. It wasn't at all. I believe he was very much a God lover. He's called a prophet. A prophet, son of Amittai, saying, and here's the word that came to him. I think his problem was he was reluctant to do the thing God asked him to do because he was a dadgum prejudice. He knew that if he would go to Nineveh and preach, that God would do something and change those people's lives. And that was the last thing he wanted to see happen. I really think that that was the issue here. So let's read his story. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, that's a pretty tough message. I mean, you think about it. This is what God asked him to do. Hello? Hi, I'm Jonah. You're about to die because you're so stinking evil. Have a nice day. Then you go to the next house. Hello, my name is Jonah. God has sent me to tell you, you're so stinking evil, you're about to die. Have a great day. And he says he goes up and down the streets, and you can read all about the deal if you really are interested in it. But that was his message. It wasn't. Hi, I have a gift for you. And I just want you to know God loves you so much. And he's done all of these amazing things for you. No, it wasn't that. It was, you're so dang gum stinking evil, you're going to die. And God's going to, he's had it with you. See ya. Have a nice day. And then he went on to, that's really the message. That's a pretty tough message. But Jonah. Yeah. I'm just saying. But Jonah, that says it all right there. Rose up to flee to Tarshish. I already told you how far that was. It was about 1,600 miles, the other side of Italy. Island-like type place. From the presence of the Lord. That's not a good place to be. So he went down. That's the first time he went down. Okay, he's going down. He's going down, all right. We find that not only does he go down to Joppa, he found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare. There is some thought that he bought the boat. He seriously didn't want to do what God was calling him to do. I don't know whether he bought the boat or not, but he paid the fare. That's what it says. He paid the fare and went down into... There he goes down again. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down into a boat. Later on, you'll find in verse 10, already quoted that. It's my verse for last week. He went down in the sailor's eyes. Okay? In their opinion of him. Went down. That's not good. And verse 15 says he went down into the sea. And 17 says he went down into the fish. This is not a good direction to be heading. When God says to go up and you go down. When God says to go right and you go left. When God says to move and you sit. From the presence of the Lord, verse 4. The Lord heard, we're trying to get a hold of Jonah's story here. Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Then the sailors became afraid. Every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them, so that the boat would be higher in the water and be able to withstand the storm. Here it is again. But Jonah. I've got "but Jonah" highlighted numerous times in this story. But Jonah had gone below. There he is going down again. Into the hold of the ship, laid down, fell asleep. Verse 6, so the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up. Call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Verse 7, each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots so we may learn on whose account this calamity has struck us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. That's not a good lottery to win, is it? Verse 8. Then they said to him, "Tell us now." And they ask him a series of 5 questions. You see the questions? Whose account has calamity struck us? Here's the second one. What's your occupation? Some of the silly questions you get asked on applications when you apply for jobs, you know, are just like, what? And where do you come from? And what is your country? Well, you find that on a lot of applications. And from what people are you? He said to them, and then he answers the questions in reverse. Oh, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. That was not a good thing for him to say. Because they're having a difficult time with the sea right now. And he says, "I worship the God that made all this stuff." Oh, you do you? Oh, Jonah. Then the men became, verse 10, became extremely frightened. And they said to him, "How could you do this?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I just want to say again, when God says something to you and you don't act on it, or when you go the opposite direction, those closest to you know it. It's not a secret. You're miserable. And you make everybody around you miserable. Get rid of that stuff. Now you might say, how do we know how we're to act? Just read the book. Just read it. You just read a chapter. You just read a verse. You can read a word in a verse. And let God's Holy Spirit do something in you from this precious book. Amen. Verse 11. So we're about done with Jonah's story. Oh my goodness. So they said to him, "What should we do to you that the sea may become calm for us?" The sea was becoming increasingly stormy. He said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." However, the men rowed desperately to try. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to do that. They said, "Well, if we can just work and we can do more stuff, maybe we can save this dude and he won't perish and all that stuff." But you know the rest of the story. Verse 14, then they called on the Lord and said, that's interesting. They called upon Jonah's God. They chucked all their gods and they called upon Jonah. You know, maybe that's not working out too good for us right now. So maybe we need to call on his God. So they call on his God. "We earnestly pray, oh Lord, do not let us perish on account of this guy. And do not put innocent blood on us, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." Verse 15. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea. There he goes, down into the sea. All started with going down to Joppa. All started with "but Jonah," right? Let me say it again. All started with "but Jonah." God spoke to him, and it was a "but Jonah" moment for him. You know the most important parts of conversations are the stuff that follows the "but." but you figured that out. So they picked him up, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Well, let's have a party. You know, this thing is all settled. I'm telling you, running from God is bad for your health. You know it, and so does everybody else know it. And it all started with him missing the point. The point was, is he was to go to Nineveh, opposite direction, and tell them what God had said. And he knew if he did that, that God was going to work. And he didn't want that to happen. Let me ask you, whenever you, I want to try to be really careful here, okay? When you go to Walmart and there are these various kiosks that are open and you are looking for the one, of course, you know how that goes, don't you? The one that looks like it's moving the fastest and has nobody there, don't go to that one. Because they're doing a price check that's going to take 8 hours or something, and you'll never get through that thing. And then the one that has all these people lined up, they're just moving like a freeway. You know, it's just going like that. When you go to Walmart and you have 8 or 9 kiosks that are open, and you're trying to see which one you want to go get in line for, and you look over here and you see a lady that's got a hijab on. She's Muslim. Is there just a little check in your spirit and you say, I don't think I want to go there. I think I'll go to this line over here. You know what you're doing? You're going down. You're fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Does that Muslim lady need to know about your Jesus? Does she need to know about the love of God that was shed abroad in your heart? Does she need to know that this cross here made all the difference in your life? Does she need to know this? Is it? That's probably never happened to you, has it? We went to the world famous. You know where it's at. It's not too far from Tower Grove. Actually, it might be in Tower Grove where you were raised. This donut shop that is there. This little old lady. I know. I got it. Yeah, sure you went to a donut shop. And this little old lady's 80-some-odd years old. She's like this. She's all bent over. Her back is... And she pushes this round thing. It's on rollers. She pushes this thing around. She works every day, 7 days a week, 13 to 15 hours a day. She gets up every morning at 1:30 and works every day and has for over 50 years. She's the owner of the shop, she and her husband. Her husband is in the back, and he's all bent over like this too, like this. My son told me about this. Son bought a place in St. Louis, and he told me about this, and has kind of, I mean, she's been featured on these chef networks and, you know, the things you watch, people watch on TV and stuff like that. They'd be there, and she's got all of these awards for being the best neighborhood business in all of St. Louis in 2012. She's got a thing that was given to her by the mayor and all that jazz. And here she is like that. She and her husband, the only one there. He's back making the donuts, and she's there selling them. Do not take credit cards. She has one of these old crank kinds of, you know, kind of deal like that where you poop, toot, 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 and whoosh, like this, and pfft, the cash and the stuff comes out like that. And 80, almost 90 years old, something like that, sharp as a tack. As we were getting ready to go in there, because we had heard so much about it, you know, we were getting ready to go in there. Place was so packed. First of all, there's no place to park. But it was so packed, you couldn't even get in the door, Literally, couldn't get there. I mean, this is quite a very popular place. Got to get Dylan there. Dylan loves donuts. And this Dunkin' Donut shop, he'll never go there again if he ever eats one of those donuts. I'm telling you, I got type 2 diabetes eating that just one little old thing. I got one thing. And anyway, there was this African-American gentleman who was obviously homeless, and he was begging. He was, you know, people do. And I watched people going around him to get to the donut shop. I'm thinking, so a donut costs like 55 cents or something like that. Give him a donut. Tell you when God's heart has always been for the lost and for, it wasn't the fact that he was African American. It wasn't that. It was just, I'm just saying, whether it's African American or Muslim or whatever, God's heart has always been for us to take the message of love and forgiveness to the Gentiles, to those who don't know him, to the Ninevites. I don't care what they've done to us. You go to these shops and you see people sit around talking and bad-mouthing this and bad-mouthing that. Just get up and don't go down into that. Go flee from that. Go flee towards God. Go run towards God and all of that, okay? I'll tell you who's getting the point, and we're going to finish with this. Ken, just come up. I didn't do a very good job of working through this. Getting the point. That's the Jesus story. That's the Jesus story. If you want to know how Jonah was disobedient. I don't think I have verses on this, Ron. So I don't think I gave this to you. But I was meditating on this earlier today. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 11, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Are you listening? Regard people more important than yourselves. Are you listening? Are you listening? Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Oh, Jonah, you should have gone to Nineveh when God told you to go to Nineveh. It would have spared you all of the distress, the disgust, your displeasure, ultimate depression. It would have spared you of all of that stuff. If you'll just do what God says to do. And I'm speaking to my own soul on this. Because I had this thing. I saw those things this past week. And I was tempted at that point. I said, don't go there. She's Muslim. And we know what Muslims are doing to Christians. She's not doing that to Christians. She's just trying to check people out at Walmart. Maybe, just maybe, my smile, my kindness, the kindness of God will lead to her repentance. Just maybe. But if I flee from that, all of that, if I flee from that stuff, not good for your health. Verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what kind of attitude was his? Was he disobedient? Oh, no. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming what? You say it with me. obedient. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, those who are in heaven, those on earth, under the earth, Nineveh, wherever. At every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm telling you, the Jesus story, that's the one I want for me. John's prologue. He says in John chapter 1, and where is John's prologue? Holy moly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God, okay? He was God. And then here's what it says in verses 4 and 5. In him there was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. That's the very thing that all of these prophets were talking about. In a dark land, the light will come. Arise, shine. Well, the light has shined. And then in the empty tomb, in him there was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or did not. It's a word that means it did not comprehend, or it did not overtake or overpower. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I've come to do what? Give you life. The thief comes to steal and to destroy, but I've come to give you life in all of its fullness. And then in John chapter 20, in verses 21 and 22, says, and when he had said this, he showed them both his hands, his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, also I send you. And when we go into the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 1:8, we go in order to witness. We go, and what is that? What is a witness? A witness is just saying, you know what? I used to be just like that. But then that happened. That happened. The cross happened in my life. I'm not like that anymore. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. I'm not like that anymore. There may have been a day when I hated you, but I love you now. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand that stuff. I don't condone that stuff, but I love you. Are you with me? Yes. And then in Matthew chapter 5, you're the light of the world. He's put himself in you. Jesus breathed into his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. His life was now not just with them, but now was in them. We're post-resurrectional Christians. When we come to Christ, he puts his life in us. Now, we here certainly believe in a subsequent experience with the Holy Spirit, where we ask God to just come and do something in us. But let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Don't be offended by these different groups. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because his heart for us is to be a light in the dark places. And as long as you're carrying a fence or whatever you're carrying around, it's like putting a bushel over the light. Don't you know that you're to be a light that is set on a hill or on a lampstand so that all will see? They'll see what you're doing. Be kind. Be loving. Let the fruit of the Spirit, all of those things, come out. I often call it, you can put your Bibles up, I'm done. I often call it these water cooler conversations. You know, look, I've taught enough evangelism classes to dam up the Mississippi River. Of all of these different, if you just do it this way, and if you do it this, you know, and you take and you go in with this many, and you do it in this way, and everything. You know what? Come on, guys. Just say, look, this is the way I used to be. Then Jesus happened in my life, and now I'm like this. It's like I was that, now I'm this. What has gotten me from here to there? The cross of Jesus has got me from here to there. How simple is that? Well, we make it so difficult, you know. We have to learn all these verses and all of those verses. You know what? I used to take people out all the time. Did it for 14 years. I taught with a group called Evangelism Explosion, and I remember, gosh, I remember some of the craziest things happening, you know. And I remember this one gal. She was under the power of the Holy Spirit. I knew it. And I knew her story, and she was telling her story, and she was trying to get verses that worked into this thing, and she got the front half of one verse stuck on the back half of another verse. I mean, it was just a disaster. But God was there. His life was in her, and this person gave their heart to Christ right then. I never will forget that. I mean, so, yeah, we're going to memorize. We do all of those kinds of things. Memorize the Scripture. Let it be worked down deep in you. It's living. It's active. It'll bring change to your life. It'll help you. It's like having, you know, weapons of warfare kind of thing when you're out over the water coolers and stuff like that. But just tell what's happened to you. So the next two Wednesday nights, 6 o'clock, it's a shameless promo for this, but I want to teach you how to do that, to just have a water cooler conversation. What we'll do this coming Wednesday is I'm going to teach you how to know your story of how you went from here to there, and get rid of all the Christianese. Nobody understands that stuff anyhow. You know, saved. What is that? Dime on a dollar, inch and a mile. What is that? Saved. I mean, they're wonderful words to us, but most people over the water that you work with, they don't understand that stuff. Just tell them, look, I used to be that, and now I'm this, and it was because of Jesus. And I'm going to teach you how to do that in an understandable and an effective way. We have child care will be provided, so if you have children and all that stuff, I'm going to invite you to come 6 o'clock this Wednesday night, and we'll just take about 45 minutes to do that before our prayer meeting. That's not a shameless way to get you to stay for prayer meeting and get up and leave after that. Go witness to somebody, in fact, really, if you want to. And then the following Wednesday, I'm going to take it one step further and show you how your story can fit into a gospel presentation, how you can easily communicate that God has done for you through Jesus that which you can never do for yourselves. Let's do this. Come on. That's God's heart for us. It's to reach the nations. That's God's heart for us. And you know what? Our dear friend Scott Claybrook and DeMarcus, they're in Kenya right now. I hope you will pray for them for the next few days. And I love that. But you know what? Kenya has come here. We were in prayer meeting this last Wednesday night. We had a dude from Tanzania, a missionary, who's living over here. He's going to Tanzania in a month. He's a church planter. You can't make that stuff up. So that's fine. If you want to buy a $1,000 ticket and go to Tanzania or wherever you want to do, God bless you. But the nations are here. There are something like 200 people groups that attend the University of Missouri. 200, something like that. And they're all around us. They're the checkers. They're the waitresses. They're the waiters. They're the chefs. They're the people that work on your cars. They're all around us. And so I just want to encourage you, next two Wednesday nights, it's all right there in your bulletin. So God, help us, help us, help us. Help us, God, when we hear the word of the Lord and the word has come to us. Oh, God, we want to run to you. We don't want to run from you. We don't want to do that. Everybody knows when we're running from you. God, we want to be running to you. We want to be sharing what good things you have done for us, what good news it is we have to share that you've done for us through Jesus, that which we could never do for ourselves. And God, we know it's not by might nor by power. By your Spirit that things happen. And so come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, and do a work in us. For the next minute or two, I just want you to just play something. Maybe, I love Jesus deal that you've done before. I love Jesus. You'll figure it out. You know that song. I love that song. Well, that's a good one, too. But there's Love Jesus. It's that beautiful little lilt, that old song that you... Whatever you want to play and lead us in will be great. It's okay. That's all right. It's all right. Let's just be quiet now. We got to get our kids. I'm way over time. I'm over time. So let's get quiet for just a moment. And make that your prayer. I don't know whether you come Wednesday night, that's up to you. But use me. Stand and let's just sing that song as we close. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul.
God bless you. Go get your kids.